And turn in your Bibles to Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon. I guarantee you don't have preachers tell you to turn to that book very often. Song of Solomon. We're not going to do a whole lot in the book of Song of Solomon today, but really we're introducing the topic, relationships, from a biblical perspective. So we're going to lay some foundation or some groundwork today. Song of Solomon. Okay. Everybody get a book. You're going to need to make sure you need a pen, or actually you have a pen, rather. Okay. Song of Solomon. Let's start in verse number one. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 1. Are we all there? Say amen.
Amen.
Okay. Well, that wasn't everybody, but Song of Solomon, we know what that is, right? It's right after Ecclesiastes. I'm sure that helped.
Amen.
Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. Verse 1, chapter 1. Let's read this. Follow along as I read. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Now we know why we don't hear sermons out of this very often. This is a book about romance. Oh, man. Yep, that's what it is. Let's go on. For thy love is better than wine. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. And of course, we're going to be studying quite a bit in this book through the next 8-week study on relationships from a biblical perspective. Now, what we're doing here is we're laying foundation for parents, for grandparents who will guide the next generation. So I need an amen there. They need guidance. And then for young people as well, who will be going into the, if you want to call it, dating / courtship time of life. And so there's counsel for all of us. And then for the kids who still think this is gross, I praise the Lord for you. But for the rest of us, let's try to get something out of this, okay? Let's pray and we'll get into this. Father, we love you so much. We thank you for the special blessing of knowing you as Savior and God, for the privilege we have to study your word. Pray you'll help us to get the biblical perspective here on relationships, God, so that we'll have your guiding hand through this turbulent time of life. We pray for guidance in the instructors, in the teachers, parents, grandparents, spiritual leadership, Lord, and then also for the young people who need this. I pray you'd bless them and help them in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, if you'll follow along, I'm basically going to be reading through this together with you. So lesson number one is our introduction. And what we're saying here is relationships, and we're aware of them at a very young age. We know this, the little song, two little lovebirds sitting in a tree, reading their Bible together. That's not how it goes. No, we know what they're doing. Number two, as you get older and begin to engage in relationships, you will soon notice two things. Number one, oh man, I forget. I got to point it back that way. I'm getting used to this. And you got to turn it on. This is too fancy. All right. They can be a great source of overwhelming emotional delight. Write the word delight. Did you know there's nothing wrong with being interested in having a romantic relationship within God's boundaries? Nothing wrong with that interest. It can be an overwhelming source of delight. However, number two, it can be a great source of what? Turbulence. Write that. Turbulence. There's probably a lot of adjectives you could put in there. Turbulence and a host of other things. Turbulence means a great disturbance or agitation, like emotional turmoil. When you have a problem in a relationship, it's a major issue because it infiltrates every area of your life. My question is, why is that true? Because everyone has a strong passion for relationships, right? Because of that, when things go bad, it consumes your mind. And because it consumes your mind, the pain of the relationship goes with you everywhere you go. So turbulence, the pain of it. That's why we need to guard our children, isn't it? We need to guard our children from making foolish choices in this area because it can be so hurtful and scars. Within 10 seconds, you could think of someone who has experienced pain or has emotional scars from previous relationships, and maybe even you. Relationships affect more than just those engaged in the relationship. In fact, in this room, there are some who personally and whose personality and lives have been drastically altered from relationships gone bad. Isn't that right? We don't trust. We don't easily have open hearts to people. So, why do we... What was that question? My notes cut it off. Why do we do it? Yeah. It is what? It's instinctive. Write the word instinctive. According to our design. You are designed for relationships. Created in the image of God with the purpose of having intimacy, relationship, and intimacy. A relationship with who? With God. He designed us for relationships. That's why He created us. God is a Trinity. His very nature speaks of relational intimacy. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so we're relational people. Listen, if you trap yourself in a room and decide you're not going to have relationships, then you will go out of your mind. We have to have relationships. We have to have community. We have to have each other. We need it. God knows that. He designed us to be that way. So these things being true, would God give man this thing called relationships that can be like a grenade, an explosive, or rather an explode at any time, without giving us any instructions on how to carry out successfully? And the answer to that is no. Look at this verse, 2 Peter 1:3. You can just look up here if you want to. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. And so the answer to the question, does God leave us without the instruction we need in this important area of relationships? And the answer is, of course not. He's given us what we need. So then number two, why is there so much pain involved and struggle involved in this thing we call relationships? Why is there so much pain? Does anybody have a guess? Number one, it is this. Well, is pain and struggle blanks? Okay. Yeah, I apologize about that. The first one is sin. Write the word sin. We're sinners, and thus separated from the designer of relationships. Hey, it should make sense to us that we're going to mess up our relational life without God because we're sinners. It's our tendency. And then number two, if you'll write Satan on there, because the devil always takes what God creates and he corrupts it. Corruption takes place in two levels. The liberal extreme. It doesn't matter to God what your sex life is like. Just don't hurt anyone. That's liberal extreme. It's not true, is it? Because it does matter to God. And He does give us a lot of instructions on this. The other extreme would be conservative extreme. Don't speak, teach about the subject, especially in the church. Don't speak on the subject of sexual desires. You know, and then there's that extreme. I do think we need to be cautious on how we would approach the subject, but to not preach on it or teach on it at all, I think we're not preaching all the counsel of God if we don't explain how God's designed us about this great needed topic of relationships. Whenever God's truth is withheld, there is always oppression. Write this next word, ignoring. Ignoring the truth of God. Is that a blank there on your thing? Okay, ignoring the truth of God, which is motivated by the two previous points, the liberal extreme, the conservative extreme. But just ignoring the truth of God, saying, I'm going to do this my way. I'm going to approach my relational life. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to follow my feel. I'm going to follow my heart. I'm going to follow my emotions. I'm going to follow my, you know, my reasoning. And those things will get you in trouble. We need instructions from God. How does God want us to develop a relationship? How does God want us to do this? How can we make sure that when we are in a relationship or that we're allowing our children to be in a relationship, that we could be sure that we're doing it according to the truth of God's word? Oh, that's so important. But you know, sometimes people know these things and they ignore it and they get in big trouble, don't they? God has devoted one book completely for relationships. As I said a minute ago, probably the least preached book in all the Bible. This book of the Bible that is devoted to relationships has primarily one goal in mind. Strong and thriving, what do you think? Marriages. Write the word marriages. Or marriage. A strong and thriving marriage. That's the point. When you get into a relationship, dating or courtship, however you title what you're doing, it's for marriage. That's what we're getting ready for. It's not a game, is it? We're not playing a game. We're not throwing a grenade back and forth to each other and having fun. No, this is a dangerous thing if we don't know how to do it God's way. Next bullet, God's design for relationships with the opposite sex is for the purpose of leading you to marriage. If you talk to those who have been married or been married, right, marriage, not it should say married, for a long time and have successful marriage, you'll ask them for the essential areas of marriage, they would probably say something like this. One, start with the right type of person. Learn how to date and court correctly. Learn how to handle premarital passion. Learn about the honeymoon night, sexual relationship. Learn how to have conflict. Learn how to keep the romance. Learn how to keep commitment. That's a pretty good list, isn't it? Notice what the book of Song of Solomon talks about. Chapter 1 deals with attraction. Chapter 2 deals with dating. Chapter 2 and 3 deals with courting. Chapter 3, marriage. Chapter 4, sexual desires. Chapter 5, conflict. Chapter 7, romance. Chapter 8, commitment. It's all there, isn't it? It's pretty awesome. So God's given us all that we need. And we're going to unpack it together. Learn about this important topic. Normally this book, the book of Song of Solomon, is taught as an allegory. But this is not the primary interpretation. Write the word primary. There we go. An allegory would mean that when it speaks of sexual things, it actually is a picture of the love that Christ has for its church. And there is truth to that, but it's not the primary application. The primary application has to do with relationship and how to have a relationship God's way. The reason it's taught this way goes back to the second reason I stated for the pain in marriage today. And that is churches are afraid or think it's improper to teach on the subject. You shouldn't talk about this stuff at church. And there's a reluctance there. And I have to tell you, there's a couple topics that I'm not totally comfortable talking about at church. One is money, but it needs to be talked about at times, you know. And this, sex. I mean, who wants to talk about that at church? But you know what? These things need to be talked about. And like I said in our message earlier, if we don't teach our children how to do these things God's way, where are they going to learn about it? They're going to learn about it from a world who doesn't know any, who doesn't know two cents of things about doing it God's way. And so we need to know these things, no matter how uncomfortable it can be. Okay? Look at our next section there. Religion tries to keep God in the nicely presented stained glass cathedral, but you can't put God in a box. And this truth is meant to be taught. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And that being the case, Song of Solomon was given to us to be taught so that we would be instructed, we would be corrected, we would be reproved, we would be rebuked if needed. Especially in the area of relationships where the world has got it all messed up. All messed up. We can't follow the guidance of this world when it comes to relationships. They'll mess our lives up. Let's mess the lives of our kids up. And they don't. Our children need to know how to deal with these passions. Because it's. I'm telling you what, when you start this thing, it's hard to stop. It's hard to turn off the switch that gets turned on when passion of sexuality gets turned on. So we need to teach our kids how to harness this. How to control it. And wait. Wait for the day when it's right. And everything is right. 2 Timothy 3:17, that the man of God may be perfect and throughly furnished unto all good works. This book is designed to be taught. So, verse number one, Song of Solomon. We're not going to get a lot of theology done today. We're just setting some foundation. But Song of Solomon is written by Solomon, okay? And you might remember Solomon had how many wives? 700. So you think to yourself, oh my goodness, this guy has to be a great example. Well, when you know that about him, you're thinking to yourself, how can I learn anything from Solomon on relationships and marriage? Well, let's talk about that for a minute. Bullet number one under that. Those familiar with the Bible would ask, how can someone like Solomon write a book on relationships? Note the following reasons. The author is not inspired. Who inspires the author? Who inspires this thing? God does. So the pen doesn't do the writing, does it? It's the instrument used by the writer is the pen. The author of the scriptures is God. Solomon, number two, Solomon is the wisest person ever to live aside from Christ. Right? Before Solomon became fixated with sexual desires, he was described as the following. 1 Kings 3:3. Look at this with me. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David, his father. Look at this next verse. 1 Kings 3:10. And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. So Solomon pleased the Lord with what? 11. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked for this thing and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked for riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. What God said about Solomon is that he loved the Lord and he was wise in that he asked God for discernment of judgment. And so he did have God's hand or God's touch when he gave the book of Song of Solomon, the song, that is, and the Proverbs as well. Look in your notes, Song of Songs. Normally the best songs are ones that passionately communicate a subject situation that the listener can identify with personally and thus affects their heart, mind, and soul. Solomon states this is the Song of Songs because it deals with attraction, relationship, sexual desires, and marriage. God said it is the Song of Songs. He is letting the reader know that he is very passionate about relationships. So God God wants us to have the instructions that we need to be sure that we approach this very important transition in life biblically, right? So that we have all that we need. And so today, you know, obviously we're not going to be preaching for a long time here. But I just want you to, I want to set some foundation here so you'll say, oh, you know what? I'm going to get everything that I need to do this right. Or to instruct my kids how to do this right. I'm going to get it right here. And next time when we get together, we're going to start with dating. And we're going to do a couple lessons on dating. We're going to do a couple lessons on courting. We're going to talk about, from Song of Solomon, how God wants us to approach this. And I think we'll save ourselves from a lot of heartache. And we'll learn how relationships are supposed to work, you know. Look what it says in your notes. The rabbi, the chief Jewish authorities, scholars on the matter of law and doctrine, consider this superior to all songs. 10 songs, says the Tarpan, have been sung, but this excels them all. Listen to these songs quoted, rather from the scriptures or from the Old Testament. The first one was sung by Adam when his sin was pardoned. The second was sung by Moses and the Israelites at the Red Sea. The third was sung by the Israelites when they drank of the rock in the wilderness. The fourth was sung by Moses when he summoned to depart from the world. The fifth was sung by Joseph when the sun and moon stood still. The sixth by Deborah and Barak after the defeat of Sisera. The seventh by Hannah when the Lord promised her a son. The eighth sung by David for all the mercies which God gave him. And the ninth is the present, sung by the spirit of prophecy by Solomon. The tenth is that which shall be sung by the children of Israel when restored from their captivities. This book is going to confront you in two ways. So as you get prepared for this topic, get prepared to get confronted in two ways. Number one, you're going to see God desires you to have a passionate but pure relationship. God wants you to have, when relationships begin to be established in godly parameters, he wants us to know, and we're going to learn from this book, Song of Solomon, that God wants it to be passionate. You know, it should be. Passion is a good thing. Marriage is a good thing. And when it's pure, it's good. Number two, you're going to be confronted with the fact that your ways of carrying out relationship is in opposition with God's ways. Write the word opposition, which will lead you to missing out on His blessings. And that's the sad news, isn't it? The sad news, we'll be confronted with our heart, and that our heart often, and the heart of your kids will be deceived and deceive themselves. They'll deceive themselves, you know. Some of you have kids that are grown already, and you know what I'm talking about, don't you? And our kids start getting passionately involved in relationships. And we see the relationship begin to take their heart. And inside we know, this is not good. This is not good. This isn't God's way. And their heart takes grip, you know, and they don't know how to deal with it. And we see them. We see them suffer. And they miss out on so much that could be there by God's design. And sometimes, you know what it is, just not knowing. Sometimes just not having instructions. And after this next seven, counting today, the next 8 weeks, the instructions by God's grace are going to be there. So it won't be ignorance after this. And we have to decide, like right here, when we're confronted, that we'll submit ourselves to God's pattern for relationships. And say, you know what? I want God's blessing. And I want to have a passionate relationship. See, we think, and those of us who've been down that road, we know too. We think often, and Melissa and I can tell you, I know this for sure because her and I have talked about this. that whenever we get married, we think it's going to be one way. You know, I mean, we think, she thinks I'm going to be one way. And I think she's going to be one way. And we kind of have these preconceived ideas about what the marriage relationship's going to be. And then whenever we get married, it's like, whoa, my dreams are shattered, you know? No, it's great and it's wonderful, but it's not what I expected. And then there's a time of disappointment there. But that's just because we weren't instructed. And we didn't know. You know, we didn't know what it was supposed to be. We didn't have the instructions, you know? And so there was ignorance there, and our expectations weren't right. But God got us through that, and I praise the Lord for God's grace, gets us through those things. Aren't you glad for that? I am. But you know, we don't have to even have that. And you young people, and you're getting ready to, some of us are right there, you know, we're getting ready to move into that phase of life. You need to take heed to these instructions because it'll keep you from being hurt. It'll keep you from that turbulence that will be there. And that's the negative side, the blessings and how sweet it can be, how good it can be when you do it right. I mean, how good it can be. I'm talking about good. It can be good. That's what God wants. Hey, there's nothing wrong. You don't have to feel bad when it's good. We just got to make sure we're doing it. We know God's way so that we can have that blessing. You know, we can experience that blessing. And we're going to get it all right here. So let's get excited about this, but have our heart open. You'll be made. You'll have to make a decision. Trust and obey. Or turn, overlook, do it your way. But you'll regret that. You will. Don't be like the baseball player who has the wrong position hands, the wrong stance when batting, and refuse to listen to the Hall of Fame coach and then wonder why he fails in batting. You step up to the plate in relationships, and you're doing it all wrong, but you won't listen to God. You're going to mess up. You're not going to hit a home run. It's going to be a mess. Striking out, striking out, striking out. Let's listen to God. I think we have good stuff ahead, and I think we'll be blessed. So let me encourage you to let God confront you in your need. Now here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a time of invitation, okay? So that means as soon as we bow to pray, we're going to all stand, we're going to pray. Miss Marilyn's going to play the organ. And we're going to pray. If you're a parent in here, I think that it would be wise for you to pray for your kids. If you're a grandparent, you need to pray for your kids. Pray for them at the altar if you can. Pray for them there. Kneel down. Let's pray for our kids. If you're a young person, you need to pray about this. God, help me to control this and do it right. And if you're a little kid and you don't like girls or boys, say, man, that was boring. Listen, we need help. We need to pray. So let's spend time doing that, okay? Let's stand together. You bow with me, and then let's spend some time in prayer as Miss Marilyn prepares for the organ. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the message this morning. I pray that you'll, Lord, help us to pray, help us to be prepared as we approach the great topic of preparing for relationships. Lord, many young people need you today in this area, and I pray you'd help us to be good instructors, and I pray for the kids that they'd have open hearts. And we give you the praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. Let's spend some time with the Lord.